Under my plan, every American adult will receive $1,000 a month, free and clear, paid for by a new tax on the companies that are benefiting most from automation. If we provide a universal basic income, Americans will be able to go back to school, move for a new opportunity, start their own business, and really have their head up as they plan for the future. With your help, we can make universal basic income a reality. Join us and let's build a new kind of economy, one that puts people first.
Andrew Yang is an entrepreneur, an attorney, an author, and that's just the letter A. If we went into B's and C's, who knows how many professions he'll have had. Andrew is running for president. He wants to be the Democratic Party's candidate for the 2020 U.S. presidential election. He joins us by way of the telephone right now. Andrew, first of all, thank you for being here. Second of all, are you sure you want to be the president of the United States?
Well, thanks for having me. And in addition to being all the things you just named,
yes.
I'm also a parent, and I think that we need to dramatically change the way that value is distributed in our society if I'm going to be excited about where my kids grow up. So yes, I want to be president.
Let's talk about that for just a little bit. Did that play an important role in your decision to run for president? Did you take a look at the way the world is going, most notably the United States, but the world in general, and say, I'm responsible. I've brought a child or two into the world. I got to do something to make it better.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I'm sitting here in San Francisco in Silicon Valley right now, and my friends in Silicon Valley know that we're about to automate away millions of truck driving jobs, retail jobs, call center jobs, cashier jobs, fast food jobs, and on and on. The reason why Donald Trump is our president today is that we automated away 4 million manufacturing jobs in Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and other states. And we're about to do the same thing. So the society my kids grow up in is going to be a very dark, bleak place unless we change the way that people can live and support themselves and hopefully move towards a better life for themselves and their families.
100% agree with you. Can one man do this? Can you do this? This is a big job.
Well, you know, I'm like many other Americans where we've lost faith in our government. We've lost faith in our ability to do big things as a people and as a society. But we're at a point now where it's necessary. We have to get our acts together and make it happen. And when you say, can one man do this? Of course not. But in a democracy, can we collectively vote ourselves a dividend of $1,000 a month? There's absolutely nothing stopping us from doing that. And if I can be a catalyst and a leader in that movement, then that would give me a great deal of joy and accomplishment.
All right, since you brought it up, let's focus on that for just a little bit, because in all honesty, Andrew, I hadn't heard of you until I heard about your plan. So let's go over your plan, because it's so intriguing and it's such a dream, but I don't know how it's possible. So please explain your plan, just for people who aren't aware of Andrew Yang's plan. Every American would receive a check for $1,000 every month. Is that correct?
Yes, every American adult between the ages of 18 and 64 would receive a check for $1,000 a month, free and clear, no questions asked, doesn't matter if you're working, doesn't matter what your income is.
And where exactly would that money come from?
Well, here's the great thing, is that our economy has grown to $19 trillion, up $4 trillion in the last 10 years alone. We have the money, and don't let anyone try and convince you otherwise. Universal basic income seems dramatic now, but it actually passed the House of Representatives in 1971. 1,000 economists signed a letter saying this would be great for the economy and society. Martin Luther King was for it. Richard Nixon was for it. It came this close to becoming law before stalling in the Senate because the Democrats wanted a higher income threshold. So it seems fantastic now to say, hey, the government could just send us all checks. But it's totally possible. All you need is a congressional majority and a president to sign it into law, and we can send the checks out immediately.
But wouldn't the government get that money by taxing us more money? Wouldn't it just be a circle, kind of?
Well, this is a great thing, is that it would be a circle, but a virtuous circle where the money flows into our hands, and then we spend it, and then it goes back into the economy. So the way we get the money is we first take some of the money we're spending right now on existing welfare programs, which is about $500 or $600 billion. So this thing's already 25% paid for before you even start. And then what?
Well, what happens to those welfare programs then? Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Do any of the welfare programs suffer as a result of this?
Well, my plan is the physician's principle of do no harm. So if you like your current benefits, you keep them. But if you want to take $1,000 in cash with no strings attached, and that's better for you, then you get that instead. Still, when you're trying to account for how to pay for it, they are replicative. So if you're already getting, let's say, $1,200 in disability, it's not like you get another $1,000. So that's how it's already partially paid for.
Okay. All right. But I'm just trying to figure out, this almost falls under the bracket of, it's kind of a loan more than it is straight up money from the government to stimulate the economy, isn't it? Because you really are, at the end of the day, you're paying that money back. You're getting it, but you are paying it back through taxes.
Yeah, so the Roosevelt Institute did a study as to what would happen if we gave everyone $1,000 a month. So people are seriously studying and considering this plan. It was proposed by a guy named Andy Stern, who used to run the largest labor union in the country, the SEIU.
Mm-hmm.
So the Roosevelt Institute found that giving everyone $1,000 a month would grow the economy by $2.5 trillion a year, or 13%, and would create 4.5 million new jobs. So as you're suggesting, the money comes to us, and then it goes back into the economy, and then back to the government. So that's the virtuous circle.
And it comes to you in a $1,000 increment or check. And
you just get a check every month.
Right, but then it doesn't go back in that full $1,000. What I'm saying is, you know, there are people that intentionally overpay on their income tax, even though the government is making interest on your money, just so they can get a little bonus at the end of the year. So I think a lot of people would say, oh, I'm getting $1,000. And you say, yeah, but you're being taxed more on things. Yeah, but I'm still getting $1,000. I think the majority of people would say, okay. Is that what you're hoping for?
Okay. Oh, and part of it, too, is that you have to figure out who's getting taxed. So right now, we have a primarily income-based tax regime, which is really not the way to go in an era of automation and software and robots and the rest of it. Because as more and more work gets done by software, income taxes does not generate revenue from that. What does generate revenue from that, and what we need to implement, is a value-added tax, which is something that every other industrialized country except for the U.S. currently has. With a value-added tax that would get revenue from software companies and Amazon and Google and all the companies that are now leading automation, we can pay for a universal basic income of $1,000 per adult per America, in America.
Andrew, is any other country, any other major country anywhere on the planet doing this already, a universal basic income?
Oh, yeah, there are experiments and pilots being done all over the world where Canada, Ireland, India, a couple of the Middle Eastern countries have had it rolled out for a number of years because of their oil revenues. So this is...
But to the extreme that you just mentioned...
Because everyone's concerned about automation, and also that they found there's a much more efficient way to improve people's lives than a new program.
Are any of these countries doing it to the extreme you mentioned? Your original plan was everybody, every U.S. citizen between the ages of 18 to 64 would get $1,000 a month. Is any country doing it to that extreme?
Yeah, a couple of the Middle Eastern countries are doing it to that level right now. So Iran, as an example, has a level of around $1,000 a month per citizen.
And there's been no...
What they found is that it does not affect the number of work hours, that people work the same levels even with an income at that level.
They just see it as a bonus. It's more money in their pocket to spend.
Right? Yeah, and if you think about you and everyone you know, if you got $1,000 a month, it's not like you would up and quit your job.
Right,
right.
You'd start saving, you'd start planning ahead, you'd be able to pay for some car repairs you've been putting off. Really, just life would improve.
Pay off credit cards, put it toward college funds, retirement, that sort of thing. Andrew Yang is our guest. He's running for president in the 2020 U.S. presidential election. He has some very interesting ideas about universal based income. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Are you between the ages of 18 and 64? How would you feel if the U.S. government just wrote you a check, sent you a check every month for $1,000, do whatever you want with it? It's on the house. It's on the government. Andrew Yang is running for the presidency of the United States in 2020 on the Democratic side. He has this idea. It's universal based income. He's a big fan of it. What's the downside of it, Andrew? I'm sure you've weighed the pros and cons. You've talked about the good aspects of it. What are the bad aspects of that idea?
So the good aspects really are in our day-to-day lives. It will improve graduation rates. People will be able to start new businesses. Mental health improves. Hospital visits even go down. The downside is really quite limited as long as you pay for it responsibly, which we can do. Again, our economy is up to a record $19 trillion. And the fact that our government right now is wasting a lot of money should not convince us that we don't have the resources to do this, because we easily do.
Yeah.
Universal basic income would end up paying for itself over time. We would lower people's health care costs. And at a social level, we would lower costs in things like incarceration and homelessness that would be reduced greatly if everyone was getting $1,000 a month.
Just the mere fact that there's more spending money, that's all it would take, you think, huh?
Well, again, my plan to pay for it is through a value-added tax, which would fall disproportionately on Amazon and Google and companies that are benefiting the most from automation.
Yeah.
So there are dangers if you were to pay for it irresponsibly, but if you were to impose a value-added tax at half the European level, you could pay for it free and clear.
I get confused. I'm sorry. When numbers are involved, I can't even figure out how much to tip the pizza guy. I got to ask the amount and then plan ahead in advance. So let's do it this way. I have an 18-year-old husband and myself. So we would get $3,000 in our household a month, correct?
Yes.
And then how much of that $3,000 would be going back in taxes? All of it?
Well, for all of the money that you spend, about 25% of it goes back to the government, because that's just the ratio of tax revenue to economic activity. So the government would get 25% of it back.
Here's
and then
one
of the value added tax. It depends upon how much you guys, your family of three, spends every year, Wendy. But then they'd get some of that back in the value added tax. A lot of the revenue that comes in really is from the internet giants and from the very large companies, where all of their transactions would be paying a slightly higher cost, and then that money would flow to you and your family.
Andrew, here's one of my fears of it. I'm sure you've thought of this, but talk me down off the ledge. You know how when you were a kid and you thought, boy, if the U.S. government just had more money, we'd be in great shape, so why doesn't the mint just print up more money? Then we'd all have more money. But the trickle-down of that is that then the price of things starts to go up, because if everybody has more money, the price of everything from gasoline to milk to clothing to you name it, they assume, well, now it's a commodity that everybody has more money for, so we're just going to cash in on this and charge more. Isn't that the end result, though?
Well, so there are a few different causes of inflation. If you pay for a universal basic income with a value-added tax, you're actually not increasing the money supply dollar for dollar. But the things that are making us miserable as Americans right now are three things: housing, education, and health care. If you think about most of the things we buy, like clothing or consumer electronics or media, those things just get better and cheaper over time.
Yeah.
But the big consumer staples go up in price. And the reason they're going up in price is because those aren't true markets, where education and healthcare have either insurance companies or the government involved, and then housing has a bunch of regs and zoning laws. So a universal basic income would not cause, like, that is the danger if you just print the money willy-nilly and do it irresponsibly, then you could cause some inflation. But if you pay for it through a value-added tax and existing spending and new economic activity, then the thing is almost entirely paid for. And it doesn't increase the money supply, so there'd be no reason to expect rampant inflation.
It sounds really intriguing. Peter has called us and has a question. You guys, we don't have a lot of time, but Peter, this is Andrew Yang.
Yeah, maybe not a question, but my exposure to this was when I worked as a contractor in Kuwait for 2 months, and it kind of became laughable when you would hear about the stipends or the universal income that was provided to the Kuwaiti citizens, where if you graduated college, you were given roughly about $1,000 US a month. And it turned into a system where the emir and the royal family had to keep the citizens happy in order to stay in power. But the actual Kuwaiti citizens were given positions then where, like at a post office or even like managing a certain facility, where they would come in late. They would have a very long breakfast. They would basically, people would laugh who were the expatriates or the other workers around and say, okay, well, that's a Kuwaiti citizen. They typically work about 2 hours a day. Everyone knows that. They like that scenario, and everyone else has to get the work done. That's my exposure to this system.
So sort of mixed results, would you agree?
Yeah, it's a peaceful society, but the problem is there's no incentive to work hard, and they know they have a lot of oil money, so they can keep their people happy by just paying them to keep the emir and royal family.
Andrew, what do you think?
Well, first, I think that the government providing jobs to tons and tons of people is a bad idea, and that what we need to do is we need to put money in the hands of American consumers and businesses so that we can grow the economy that way. But the other thing is that $1,000 a month in America is not enough to do more than barely scrape by and survive, whereas in a place like Kuwait, it might be enough to live pretty well. So most Americans would be working as hard or harder if they got $1,000 a month than they do right now, and that's what the data shows as well, where when Americans have gotten income support in this way, the only two groups that work a little bit less are teenagers who stay in school and graduate at higher levels, and new mothers who spend more time with their kids. The rest of us work at the same levels as we did before. So I would agree that this would be a problem if you had an income level here in America that was enough to live comfortably. But $1,000 a month is right below the poverty line, and that's not going to discourage anyone from working.
That's Andrew Yang. He wants to be your president. He's running on the Democratic side for the 2020 U.S. presidential election. If they want more information, your Facebook page, Andrew, right? That's a good idea. It's Andrew Yang, VFA. And is there another website that they can visit, or is that the best?
Yeah. If you Google Andrew Yang, you go to our website, yang2020.com. I wrote a book on this topic that just came out. And we have a campaign right now where if you think this is a good idea, go to our website, yang2020.com, and just pledge $1. And we can show our leaders that we want a universal basic income that actually improves the lives of everyday Americans.
Very good.
Definitely worth looking into, I'll tell you that. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck.
Thank you both so much.
Take care, Andrew. That's Andrew Yang. All right, we'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then Dean Richards joins us. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.